It gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker and my friend, Felina Sam from Santa Maria.
She isn't going to break my anonymity right there. My name's Felina and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Where to start? Well, I guess at the beginning. I come from a pair of alcoholics who come from a pair of alcoholics who come from a pair of alcoholics. Does that make me an alcoholic? Not necessarily, but it increases my chances to be an alcoholic, at least in my book. That's my opinion, because I learned how to be an alcoholic way before I ever took a drink. I had my first drink when I was 5 years old, and that was not my first alcoholic drink, but I had my first drink when I was 5 years old. My parents were having a party, and I snuck one of those pop top Coors beers and decided to hide it. I was sitting in one of those spinny chairs, and I popped it, took a drink, spun around in the chair, and tried to act cool and didn't know what I was doing, but I got up out of the chair, and I don't know if it was from the spinning or from the alcohol, but I fell flat on my face. And I don't know if the phenomenon of craving kicked in there. I don't know. But that was my first taste of alcohol. And I didn't drink again until I was 13 years old. And my childhood now, like I said, my parents are both alcoholics. And what that entailed for me was a lot of arrests, a lot of fighting, and a lot of drinking. And I was the little kid who got to see it all. And it wasn't happening at my friend's house, but it was happening at my house. So I chose to act as if it wasn't happening at my house. So I went around and cleaned up everything and tried to hide what was happening at my house. I'd go to my friend's house and I'd be the perfect little kid there and they thought everything was good at home. Now, 1 year my mom had 72 arrests. Three of those were for drunk in public. She had a couple DUIs and on one night in that same year, I bailed both my parents out of jail on the same night. It was a birthday party for my dad that the cops got called for, came out to the house. My mom started snorting at the cops that they were pigs, and she ran into the house, and my dad proceeded to turn the hose on the cops. So needless to say, both my parents ended up in the cop car by the end of the night, and this little girl knew what to do. She called a bail bondsman, and I had a bail bondsman on, well, we didn't have speed dial back then, but I had his number memorized by heart, because my mom was good friends with the bail bondsman because she ended up in jail quite a bit. When I was 12, my mother had a, well, no, I'll back up a little bit before that. My mom, due to her drinking, ended up in the mental hospital twice because the big book talks about that. That's what we do. That's what they did for alcoholics back then because there wasn't so much Alcoholics Anonymous. They put them in a mental hospital, and I don't know what they did. But my mom crocheted for many years of my childhood, and we just thought she had a mental breakdown, not that she was an alcoholic. And then she came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and she used to bring me into meetings as a kid, and they had the big books, and I thought, big books, 12 steps, those steps are big. You know, I had no idea what went on in the big book, but I came into meetings with my mother, and I heard, keep coming back, one day at a time, and do the steps. That's all I heard as a kid, and my mom would go home and drink. So to me, Alcoholics Anonymous did not work as far as I was concerned. So that'll come into play later on in my story. When I was 12, my mother decided she didn't want to be a mother anymore, and she called my father and said, come and pick her up. I don't want to deal with a almost teenager. And so my dad came and picked me up and took me to San Ynez, where we lived in a converted school bus with no running water, because that was his parenting skills. He didn't know how to be a parent. And I lived at my friend's house most of the time during the time I lived with my dad. And all my friends were older, and they liked to party. Now, I didn't do that. My parents were alcoholics, so I was not going to be like that. And I was training for the Olympics. I was going to be a professional ice skater. And so drinking was the furthest thing from my mind until I ended up in San Ynez. Living there with my dad, I got a phone call one day that my mom was coming to visit, and I didn't want to see her, so some friends brought some alcohol to school, and I'm in the girls' bathroom at one point in time, and somebody handed me a half pint of Jack Daniels, and I chugged it down on an empty stomach in about 2 seconds, and from that point on, I cannot tell you what happened, because within a short period of time, I blacked out at school, I passed out at school, and I threw up at school. My best friend snuck me off school campus and threw me in the back of her car, and her and her mother, who weighed 300 pounds, could not drag a 90-pound little girl into the house because I was nothing but dead weight. But they somehow managed to drag me up some stairs, and I fell asleep on the floor. Woke up from a blackout, excused myself from work, and went back to sleep. And the next day I woke up and didn't have any recollection of what had happened. I just remembered being at school and remembered she was coming for a visit. She found out, went to the school, told the school I drank at school. They came and talked to me in a form of counseling, and I proceeded to drink at her for the rest of the week that she was there. I just wanted her gone, and she left shortly after that. And I continued to keep drinking just because it was so much fun by that point in time. You know, I guess the puking and the blacking out seemed fun when you're 13 years old. I didn't do it every night. It was just on the weekends with the friends to hang out. But I'm the type of alcoholic, I guess at 13, that every time I drank, it was an excess. So I'd end up blacking out each time. At 17 years old, I found out I was pregnant in high school, and it was during my drinking. I ended up not keeping that child and terminated my pregnancy at 21 weeks, drove myself to the doctors, and drank again after that to numb what I had done. And during that time, the place that I went to got closed down for unsanitary procedures, and so I drank at that for probably a 6-month stint every night. I did not graduate from high school because of my drinking, and there was this nice older guy that I worked with who I guess felt sorry for me when he saw me drinking, so he kind of like nurtured me and watched me when I drank to make sure nothing bad happened. And at the end of that 6 months, what does any drunk 17, 18 year old girl do? She attacks him sexually, and didn't know he was a 24 year old virgin, and I ended up getting pregnant again, and I informed the gentleman of this, and he says, we got to get married. I didn't know what marriage looked like because my parents were divorced when I was 6 months old, so I said, okay, and got married shortly after my 19th birthday, and had a baby a few months after that. I was 6 months pregnant when I got married. I thought that's what you do. I thought you people grow up, they get married, they have kids. I didn't know there was an order for it, but, you know, I got married and was having kids at 19 years old, and had my second kid before my 21st birthday, and I didn't drink during those pregnancies. And each time I started to sober up, I realized I was married to a complete stranger that I knew nothing about and didn't know how I got in there because, you know, I was kind of drunk when I did that too. So by my third year of marriage, I had the bright idea, and you know, my husband isn't attacking me because he never was the attacker. It was the drunk little whatever I was who did it. We went through a year where there was no physical contact between a husband and wife, and I took it personally. So I said, that's it. I'm out of here. I want a divorce. And so I left. And my best friend, who is the father of my next set of children, and I proceeded to have a 13-year relationship, and he was the dope fiend, and I was the alcoholic, and I didn't want to ever have anything to do with drugs. However, drugs are part of my story, and drugs kicked my ass. Those of you who know me know that I got here weighing 86 pounds and ready to jump out a second-story window and fly with the angels. I was a pasty, sucked up, twacked out, shot out, picked out. I looked like a Holocaust victim when I got here. But that's getting further into my story. I hooked up with him, and we were drinking and partying together, and got my first DUI. Didn't think I had a drinking problem during any of this. I thought I had a, I don't know, cop problem. You know, the cops just didn't like me that well. And so I got a DUI in 1990, and had to pay a bunch of fines and go to those classes, and they just made me thirsty. They told me to come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I came in, went to a class, giggled about it, and went out in the car and drank, and because I knew Alcoholics Anonymous didn't work. About 2 years later, I got another DUI, and the cop followed me home from the bar, and he was picking on me, and that was my story, and I was sticking to it, and got another class, got on probation, and part of my probation was you weren't supposed to go into bars, you weren't supposed to drink, da-da-da-da-da. I still did it. Still thought I had a cop problem, not a drinking problem, because I could stop drinking anytime I wanted to. I just didn't want to. And needless to say, me and him started having kids about this time. Well, it was a little while later. And he started going to jail for stupid things, robberies, under the influences, breaking and entering, you name it, he went to jail for it. And when I wanted to leave town with him and get away from the cops, he got a gun from my grandfather, and without my grandpa's knowledge, and we left town and went and stayed with a friend in Barstow, and we got down there, and he got arrested for stealing the gun, and I was working in a bar of all places, and got introduced to powder. Someone handed me a mirror with something on it, and I said, "What do you do?" They said, "Suck." I sucked, and well, first I blew it all over the floor, and because I exhaled and didn't know that's what, whatever. And then they gave me another one, and this time I stuck it up. And next thing I know, I'm beer backing in a bar, carrying heavy pounds of ice, and running all over the place. And everybody thought it was cool. I liked it so much, I continued to do that for a few months while in Barstow, and was doing some drinking down there, too. But, like I said, he went to jail, and I had some kids, and the first ex, said, "You can come back." So I came back to San Ynez and tried to be a good little homey wife, but not have sex with my husband and drink every night. And what happened was I ended up hating him yet again. And but drinking every night and going to bars and driving and ended up with another DUI. And I was running from myself during all this time. I didn't know what or who Felina was. I thought as a kid, my primary objective was one day I want to be a mom. And those of you who know me know I have 5 kids, so I succeeded at being a mom, but I didn't know how to be a mom. I knew how to be an alcoholic, so I was that alcoholic mom. You know, I went to things, school, drunk. I went to festivities, you know, the gatherings, the plays and all that, and clapping for my kids, you know. As there's beer in the car, and I think I'm driving them home, but I thought I was being the good mom, because that's what I knew how to do. I didn't know how to be a mom, and I stayed with the kids' dad, kept thinking if I just do this, if I just do this, he'll stop doing what he's doing and we can be a family and raise these kids and be normal. And it never worked, and never, none of that ever happened. You know, we had houses, we had cars, I had jobs, and he wouldn't stop. And so he wouldn't stop, so I would drink at him. And then I just wanted out of it, and it was really, really bad. To say the least, it was abusive on both parts, because if I get pushed, I push back. And at one point in time, I was convinced I was going to kill him, and I wanted to kill him. And somebody said, "Just leave." And he told me if I leave, he's going to kill me. So we're going to kill each other was my philosophy. And I told myself that I was going to die there, and that was my plan. My plan was to die in the relationship that I was in, and everything was going to be okay. I wasn't thinking about those kids. I wasn't thinking, you know, they're going to grow up and not have parents. I just wanted out of it, and what I was doing. Now, I didn't think to come into Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't think to ask anybody for help. I was fine. And like I said, when I got here, I weighed 86 pounds. I was holding my clothes up with my then 3-year-old's belt, and he was maybe that big. And I was ready to jump out a second-story window because I was hallucinating and saw angels. And I walked past the mirror, and for once I looked in the mirror and I said, I don't want my kids feeling about me the way I felt about my mother, and I was done. I didn't know what that meant, but I was done. And I'd been up for 21 days, and I was planning. I had a plan. I was going to get loaded and get drunk one more time, and that was going to be my last time. And that was right before my 34th birthday. And so I started partying and blacked out one more time and woke up to the cops. And I woke up from that blackout and went running to the door, and I thought they were there to evict us because we hadn't paid the rent. And they weren't there for me. They were there for him. And they came in, put him in handcuffs, and my exact words in the police report were, thank God it's over. And I didn't know how powerful that was at that point in time. They took me to the substation for a brief moment and told me I just had to admit I was under the influence of a controlled substance and I could go. And I thought they were lying, but I did what they told me to do. And then I thought they were following me, so I went from the police station to the Alano Club on Ben Wiley. And that was my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I walked in the door and I walked out the door. I didn't stay, I didn't hear anything, but that was my first meeting. And shortly after that, a couple days after that, I did get evicted out of that house. And I was going to stay with a friend, and my sister-in-law told me, we're taking your children. And if you ever want to see your children again, you're going to do something about your problem. And she thought I just had a slight drinking problem. She didn't know how bad it had gotten. And she said, you're going to go to the shelter, and you're going to start from there. And I said, okay. So I went to the shelter. I went to the shelter, and they told me I could go to AA meetings and look for work. So I went to my first meeting because I wanted to do something and wanted to get my kids back on March 3rd of 2003. And that was my first sobriety date. It wasn't my last sobriety date, that was my first sobriety date. So I came to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on March 3rd of 2003. My sobriety date is December 3rd of 2003. I did get 30 days, I got a drink and celebrated. I got 60 days, got a drink and celebrated. So my sobriety date changed quite a bit from March to December, but I had my last drink on December 2nd, 2003, and I was working on a fourth step, and I didn't like myself very much. And my roommate came home and handed me a six-pack and said, don't beat yourself up. So I drank them and didn't beat myself up. That was my surrender, you know. I knew I was powerless over alcohol from that point on. Prior to that, I just thought I had a cop problem. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. They told me go to 30 meetings in 30 days. And, well, that's not how I drink. So I wasn't working. In 30 days, I went to over 100 meetings. And my first year, I went to over 1,200 meetings. I got into service because I heard service. I heard keep coming back. I heard do the steps, and it works if you work it. And my first sponsor carried me with love through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she was a kind, loving woman who didn't want anything from me except for me to help me stay sober. And she showed me the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Bob H. got me my first big book, and I still have that big book. It has highlighter all over it, and every time I open it up, I find myself in there. It tells me what to do in the morning, what to do at night, what to do if I have a problem. It tells me there is a solution. It tells me how it works. And it also tells me to read this book at the top of page 112. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, I have 3,833 days of continuous sobriety, and that's 10 years and almost 6 months. And this was not my plan. My plan was not to stay sober, not to be an Alcoholics Anonymous, not to be a productive member of society. Those kids that went away early on in my sobriety stayed gone for the first 5 years of my sobriety because the people who had them didn't believe that I was doing this fast enough. I wasn't stable enough to have my children, so they kept them for the first 5 years. And I got them back during my fifth year of sobriety. When the economy decided to take a change, and I also lost my job at my fifth year of sobriety too, and nothing like getting three almost teenagers back and just losing your job and trying to find some balance in there. So I did what any normal alcoholic does. I decided to just be a parent, and I've been doing that for the last quite a few years. You know, and now my kids are 17, 15, and 14, and they're all in high school, and for the most part, they're good kids. They're teenagers, but they're good kids. I got to share this little tidbit just on today. My daughter wrote a story for her English class on depression and how bad things can get, and in the story, it was about a little girl who found out she was adopted and decides to do drugs one time and dies, and she's having to film this, and her friends are all over at the house, and they're trying to figure out how to come up with ideas, and here's Mom. Mom says, let's go smash up some Smarties, let's do this, and I'm in the kitchen smashing up Smarties and making lines of Smarties on a mirror for my kids. And telling them how to make it look like they can snort the Smarties with a dollar bill and eat it. And they're looking at me like, God, Mom, who else would be doing this? I'm like, you know, you're doing it about what I used to live like, so I can help you out on how to do this, you know. And they're like, well, at least you're a cool mom about it, you know, you're not freaking out. And but it was entertaining, to say the least, that I'm in the kitchen, you know, making lines of Smarties on a mirror, and I had to throw it out by the end of the day because they didn't finish with their film. They're going to finish it on Tuesday. I'm like, really? I got to go through this all over again? You know, is this a relapse for me? You know, in my head, I'm like, do I need to call my sponsor? But no, you know, and my daughter's like, are you okay? Do you need to go pray about it? And, you know, I bring my kids to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, or I did. For some of my recovery, and they were the loudest kids in the room. They were the most disruptive kids in the room. They played outside. They played inside. They know the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. They know that the first step is admitting you're powerless over alcohol. They know to pray about it. They know that I need to call my sponsor and that I need to go to meetings. And do they test that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. You know, they tell me, you have 10 years, you don't need to go to another meeting. I said, well, if I didn't go to a meeting, I wouldn't be here and be your mom, now would I? And or I probably would have killed you by now. But it's really not that bad, you know, it's not. Back when I was drinking, some things happened to my children. I swore if anything bad ever happened to my children, or if they were harmed in any way, whoever did the harming, I would kill them. And two of my kids were harmed during my drinking. One was my older son. When he was my younger son, somebody touched him inappropriately, and, well, needless to say, I managed to have 3 kids with that person, I didn't know it at the time, or I did know it, and just buried it so far down deep inside, I don't know, but my other child, I have a daughter, and something happened to her as a kid, too, and, that's when I decided I wanted to die in my using and drinking, was when I thought I had failed as a mother and couldn't protect her, because the person who had harmed her was another kid, and I could not go and harm another kid for what they had done. So I put my daughter in some counseling, and she got some help for what was done to her, but there was some damage there, you know, there was some damage there. And today, I just want my children to be happy, and I want them to be loved, and no matter who they love. And I hope they don't ever have to turn to alcohol or drugs like I did. I hope I can be a good role model for them and show them what a mother can be. I don't know, you know, I'm just glad to be here, and I'm at a loss for words, which doesn't happen very often, but no, it doesn't. Alrighty then, last 5 minutes, here we go. Like I said, I have 10 and a half years of continuous sobriety, and for the last 10 years, 9 and a half, All right. When I was new, back up a little bit, when I was new, they tell you not to get into a relationship in your first year of sobriety. Well, I got into a relationship in my first year in sobriety, and it was with someone who had a lot of time in sobriety, and he was married and was just leaving his wife for whatever reason, and we got together, and 6 months into our relationship, he went back to the wife. And I stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't get drunk over that relationship. And I got into service, and I helped others, but I wasn't working on myself. I was ignoring Felina. I was helping you, and you, and I was being of service because that's what they said to do. I was doing that, faking it until you could make it. And needless to say, I continue to have a relationship with that person, even though they went back to their wife. And so I couldn't be very spiritual. I couldn't be very connected to Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't be very truthful in Alcoholics Anonymous because I was sneaking around with somebody I shouldn't have been sneaking around with. And I wasn't happy with myself. And I wasn't going to tell you that. I just wasn't going to let you get to know me or know anything about me or be real. Until right before my 10th birthday, when my best thinking was a drink is going to solve this. A drink will make it all go away, and a drink is what I should have done 9 years ago. And I can just drink at him and then come back. You know, and but my experience is I know that a lot of us don't come back. And my head kept saying, well, after I meet with my sponsees and after I go to another meeting and after I do this, that's when I'm going to drink. But that never happened, you know, that never happened. I kept meeting with the sponsees and I kept going to the meetings. And people kept talking to me and saying, no, you're really not going to drink. And I said, no, really, I am. And I want to. And it's just not right now. And one of my friends decided to pick up a drink after a few years of sobriety. And when she relapsed, it hit me that I don't ever have to do that again, you know, and I don't ever have to raise my hand as a newcomer, and I don't ever have to go through any of the things that I went through in my first year of sobriety again. I just have to do something different, like Mike talked about. It's about change. So I had to change what I was doing, because if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And so I changed. I started getting real in meetings, and I got a new sponsor, and I started digging a little deeper, and I started getting real with people and telling what was really going on. And I'm just now letting go for the first time. You know, I'm that freaking ice queen from Frozen. I like to keep things concealed, not feel, and hide from everybody. And you know, nothing like watching that, and she's like, let it go. And she's opening the door, and things are busting through. You know, it's hilarious. But it's me, you know. I'm that person. And today I want to feel more than I don't want to feel. And I want to be real more than I want to be hidden. And I want to be Felina, you know. And I want to be sober more than I want to be whatever I wanted to be before. So having said that, thank you for letting me share. Another round for Felina.